If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 236. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button, rate 5 stars, find us on YouTube, subscribe to WEEI's YouTube channel there, find our Play Tessie playlist there, hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. The Red Sox have won 7 straight games. And you can say whatever you want about them beating bad teams. They beat the Rockies. They beat the Nationals. Yes, I know. Those teams don't get swept every series. Each of those teams has been swept, I believe, one time in their last 5 or 6 series. I had the stat. I tweeted it out. I should have had it ready to go. But you swept both of those teams. And you did it handily. You did it convincingly. I think only one of those games felt even remotely close at all. And even then, I mean, it never, like, it was Hicks in the game with a 2-run lead. Like, yeah, that's as close as it felt. Every other game, you're putting up double digit runs. You're getting good starting pitching. They're going deep into games. And then the Rays come into town. A good team. Now let's see what you're going to do against them. You go down 3-1. You face the guy they just traded a first round pick for today. And you know what you do? You walk a couple of times. You're one of your top prospects. Huge RBI double. Seidon Rafael stays hot. You win the game, the clutch relief pitching late with Whitlock and Chapman. This team, they're rolling. They're rolling, and it's time for us to come on this podcast and answer the question, do you buy in to what they're putting down? Because I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying you're wrong if you're doubting them. It's okay. Like, it's an opinion, and it's valid if that's either of your opinions. They have a gauntlet of a schedule starting right now for at least a month. It gets a little bit easier. They've got some like a month period where you got some Baltimore, some Vegas Athletics, or whatever you want to call them. What do they play? Sacramento? Sacramento A's, yeah. And like the Pirates. Like you've got that coming late, but you got to get through the gauntlet first. Are you guys still sitting here thinking, let's see how they do in the gauntlet? Or are you ready to buy in to what this team is putting down?
Well, you know, I don't want to come on here and right away be like, no, I'm not buying in. I mean, they swept the 2019 World Series champions. Then they swept the 2007 National League champions. And they just took the first game against the 2020 AL champions. So that's great. But, you know, we're always honest here on Play Tessie. I got to see them go through the gauntlet first. We got the Rays.
Oh, my God.
Good start. Good start. I'm happy. I'm not budging off my stance. This is it. This is the spot in the season where it's make or break. Who is it? Rays, Cubs, Dodgers.
Phillies, Dodgers.
Phillies, Dodgers. Then you got the Twins. That's not that bad. But then you're right back to the Astros. Then it's the Royals. And then you got the Padres. It's nuts.
Can I cut you off, Sammy? How far into that gauntlet, if they're still winning games, will you bend the knee and say they're good?
I got no idea. I got to see it. I need context. You know, I need to see if there's good wins, there's great wins, there's bad losses, there's regular losses. I got to see it. I can't look that far out. You know, if they take 3 out of 4 against the Rays going into the All-Star break, it's going to be really hard for me not to be super high on this Red Sox team. But long way to go. I feel positive. I don't like the people who kind of denigrate sweeping those bad teams. Gordo, like you said, they don't lose every series 3-0. So, you know, maybe the Rockies were sending guys that nobody has ever heard of out of their bullpen 90% of the time. But still, they're wins. That's a major league team. They've won 21 times this year. So they're a team. The wins count all the same. And then tonight, as we recording on Thursday for your Friday podcast, that win against Tampa, look, Buehler's not been great this year. He's been bad. He pitched fine tonight. The offense wasn't great, but they battled. Sedan, clutch as always. That was a fun game. A win like that, it's so hard not to say buying in. So right now, I guess I'm leaning towards believing in this team, but I can't just say I'm in yet. I'm staying where I'm at, feeling positive, feeling optimistic, but I got to see them run the gauntlet.
I think there's a chance that if they play well in the rest of this Rays series, that by the next time we get on this pod, you're ready to go.
Oh, dude!
Last All-Star break, we were all they took 2 out of 3 from the Royals, and we were ready to fucking go. Like,
if they win like 3 out of 4 or sweep the Rays, of course I'm gonna be like, oh my god, you can't trade Chapman. You gotta trade for Joe Ryan. Get Josh Naylor too. You can win the American League. The Yankees are McFeeble right now, but I'm not there yet. I'm always honest on Playtesty. I'm always honest. I feel good, but I'm not quite there yet. Close.
Pat, I want to get your take, but I found the stat first. The Nationals hadn't been swept in their previous 5 series. The Rockies had only been swept once in their previous 8 series. So, like, yeah, I don't want to hear you fucking try to downplay them sweeping these teams. They're not good teams. People don't routinely sweep these teams. The Red Sox did. Pat, are you bought in to what the Red Sox are putting down yet?
No.
Oh my God!
No.
Come on, guys.
No.
Come on.
No.
We need to smell the fucking roses.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. Go back and listen to the episode we recorded right after the Angel series. I said no matter what they do, I will not buy back in until the deadline. So that being said, I will have my bought in or selling judgment Monday, July 28th. So after the Rays, Cubs, Phillies, Dodgers. So that's a 13-game stretch. They at least have to go 7-6. Right now they're 1-0. 7-6 for me to buy what they're selling.
Okay. Let me rephrase this question for you guys. Because right now, I mean, we're recording the Mariners Yankees game is not over. Sammy, do you have how close is that to being over?
The Mariners 1-1. Yankees down to their last strike, but they got 2 men on and the winning run at the plate, and it's Ben Rice. And hold on. I might have a live react.
Breaking news, David Hamilton optioned to Worcester.
Oh, for Marcelo, Alex for Bregman to
Bregman.
Be at
Bregman.
Most likely. Breaking news.
That's breaking. Cool. Yeah.
That is breaking news.
Can you do that sound again? That was cool.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, go.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Finish.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like when you have a big battle in one of the Pokemon games. That's like when you walk in. Okay, so Munoz has walk the bases loaded.
All right. Okay, so the Red Sox, as we speak right now, the Red Sox are in a playoff spot. What I was getting at before David Hamilton got optioned, I completely lost my train of thought, but I think I got it back. What I was going to ask you guys is they're in a playoff spot right now. Even if the Mariners win this game, they're still tied for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. Like, we're what's today's date? We're drop day is
July 10th.
Drop day is the 11th. That means there's 1, 2, 3 weeks until the trade deadline. How far out do they need to be for you guys to switch? Because I assume you're not selling. I know you guys are saying that you're not bought in.
I'm on team buy.
I know it's a different question.
Okay.
Where, like, okay. I'm confused at where you guys are because Sam, let's start with Sammy because you said you're on team buy, but you're not bought into the Red Sox. Like, okay, you're in a gray area. Like, what, explain this gray area.
To me, to buy in means this is a team that could fight to win the pennant and make it to the World Series. I love this team. I'm at the point where my mindset with the Red Sox is I like this team. They're fun. They're flawed. They could make the playoffs. I feel pretty good about the team right now, and I want them to add. I don't want them to sell at the deadline. That would be super disappointing. But to be at, like, the, you know, trade a guy like Peyton Tolley and go get Joe Ryan, like, really go all in. Not a good example because he's not a rental. Seth Lugo, like Pat mentioned on the last episode, a guy who's a rental, really good, but he has a poison pill. But he's a guy you go for if you think you're going to potentially win the pennant. I'm not there yet. Right now I'm looking at, like, give me someone who's team controlled or you get a cheap rental to help you in 2025. I'm not at the, like, give me that Dombrowski-esque buy where you're really going for it and you're like, oh my God, this could be one of those years where they actually get it done. The Yankees might have just tied the game.
Well, either way, Sammy.
They did. It's tied. So I don't know how this will affect the Red Sox, but Mariners-Yankees are tied right now as we record. This is great. Great podcasting.
But Sammy, I agree with what you're putting down because even if the Red Sox are, let's say, three games up on the last wild card spot at trade deadline time, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I want this team trading for the best rental starting pitcher and first baseman and relief pitcher on the market because that's what you do when you're a division winner, World Series or bust kind of team. I still want this team building with an eye on the future. So I want them investing in guys with team control. But it's gonna take a lot for me, like. Even the buy sell thing, not counting the outfield.
Can I ask you what does it mean for you to buy in?
To think that this team has a legitimate good chance at making the playoffs.
Oh, because I'm there. I already think they have a really good chance at making the playoffs. Like,
so what
does
buy into to you when I asked that the first time? Because like what I'm asking like is this team what they're doing for real.
Yeah, I mean, like,
not like they're going to win every game, but like.
No, I know, but I'm talking about like buy-in. To me, buy-in means you think this team could win the World Series. I'm not there yet. I think this team could sneak into the playoffs, which is great. And even if I'm not completely bought in, I still want them to buy, you know, like buy at the deadline, increase your odds. But I'm not like all in. This is a World Series contending team. I'm just not there yet. There's a lot of talent on this Red Sox team, but it's so, so young and so inexperienced. You never know what's going to happen. I keep looking at the 2024 Tigers as kind of a blueprint for this Red Sox team where they brought up all their young guys. Granted, they didn't trade the best bat in their lineup in the middle of the season, but they brought up all their young guys and the guys
They traded Jack Flaherty.
Flaherty, their number two starter. So that's something, but you know, it's not really the same as the face of your team.
Sammy, when I ask if you're buying in, I'm not saying is this team a legitimate, like, oh my God, do you expect them to make a run at the World Series? We're hearkening back to the last 2 years as, wait a minute, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about selling, and now that should be a distant memory. Like, selling's obviously going to be on everyone's radar. They're on the borderline of a playoff spot. One bad week, and yeah, you could be selling. But, like, it's so far in my rearview mirror. Like, I don't even think about it anymore outside of the outfield trade, which we'll talk about. And we'll talk about the Joe Ryan stuff. Like, if you came here ready to talk outfield trade, ready to talk Joe Ryan, like, we're going to get to those things. But yeah, I'm just, that's not where my head is at.
Fair. Oh my God, so much news.
In a shocking turn of events, no one saw this coming. The Red Sox have optioned Isaiah Campbell to Worcester after his stellar outing on Wednesday night. And I believe that's to make the roster spot for Dobbins to start tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. So yeah, on drop day, it'll be tonight if you're listening. So yeah, that was expected, but breaking news nonetheless. And we get to hear the horn again. I love it. Yeah. It's a great sound. That took me a few tries to find.
Hey, nothing against David Hamilton or Isaiah Campbell, but it is so refreshing to see the Red Sox make like the obvious move. Like, don't send your top prospect down for your okay bench piece. And, you know, don't send a good young pitcher down for Isaiah Campbell. That one was less of a concern. It was really more Meyer. But yeah, everything.
Could you imagine?
I don't want to get too excited. I feel like such Hold a fool on. If I get overly excited,
Sammy,
about all
you,
these things.
Could you imagine if they were sitting there in the dugout, like, okay, Bregman's coming back tomorrow, and we're probably going to need to send Marcelo down, get him every day at bats in AAA. Like, we're going to have to break the news to him after the game. It's going to be tough. And then he ropes that clutch double in the gap, and they're like,
dude, that would be, if they sent Marcelo down.
Oh, it would have been awful. We would have been so mad.
It would have been awful, but it would have been the most Red Sox thing of all time. And none of us would have been surprised. We would have been like, yep, that sucks, but we're not surprised. Right? Like, am I crazy? I wouldn't have been surprised at all.
No, that would have been just great.
Oh, dude. Can you imagine like the roster meeting after the game tonight? And they're like, yeah, it's going to hurt so bad to send Marcelo down, man. It's going to be a tough call. And then all of a sudden, some guy in the back just goes, well, what about David Hamilton? And Cora goes, he's still on the fucking team? Send him down.
Okay. Dude, I like Hamilton as like a bench piece, good speed, too. Good defense at second, but god damn, I'm so glad it wasn't Meyer getting sent down. Please.
Joe? So question for you guys then, because I feel like looking at the entire lineup roster, it doesn't look like there are any flaws, or I shouldn't say flaws, but there's
gaping holes.
Oh, yeah, I get what Joe's trying to say.
That's a good point. Don't you guys feel that much better about this roster where there aren't guys that are fringe like the Isaiah Campbells where you know they're going to get sent down to AAA? Like, unless there's an injury, these are your major league guys.
Well, no, I would say like the biggest
example is the lineup because yeah, you don't. Like, you don't have your Devers. Yeah, you don't
strictly
have your
the lineup. Like, rotation and bullpen are another story. But the lineup.
I don't think you have it in the bullpen either. Who do you hate when they, like, Isaiah Campbell aside, because they called him up as an extra reliever. Who comes in from the bullpen and you're like, shit?
Only because he's been overworked, Greg Weissert.
Yeah, Weissert I don't feel great. Overworked. Bernardino I don't feel great about. But they're not, like, disasters, even with the overwork. And I don't think this is going to continue for the whole year. I think there's going to be issues with the offense. I think there's going to be major issues with the bullpen at some point. But currently, on July 10th, as we record, the biggest hole on the team is backup catcher. That's not a bad place to be. If that's your biggest issue, your backup catcher, it's an issue for sure.
Sammy, it's a tough one because it's like, yes, that is the only place on the roster where there is a guy where you're like, I do not want you in the game. But at the same time, it's like they've got enough talent to fill up a roster with quality players everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're maybe a middle of the order bat short. Yeah, they're maybe a front of the rotation, like number two starter short. Yeah, they're maybe one more back of the bullpen guy short. So there's no guys that come into the game or are in the lineup where you're routinely like, fuck, like I don't want this guy in the game, but like we have no one left. Oh, fuck. Like,
honestly,
7-8-9 sucks. Like, those guys don't exist. And that's what's winning them games right now.
It was Hamilton. Like, Hamilton was the one guy who had been getting in games the past 10 days where I was like, oh, fuck. But not happening. And Wong.
But even
Wong,
so.
Obviously Wong.
Yeah, but even with Hamilton, at least he gives you good defense at an important position. And if he does get on, he's a nightmare. Like, he did stuff. I'm not trying to say he's been playing well in 2025. He hasn't. But he gives you something. It's more like when I want to criticize the 2025 Red Sox right now, it's more so looking ahead, like, do I think this team is built for the playoffs right now? Not really. I don't know who starts game two. Right now it's Giolito. We talked about this on Monday. Right now I feel great about Giolito if they do make the playoffs, and it is game two, of course, but like, got a long way to go here.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, okay, I want to let's get into the game a little bit. We'll talk about the Raiders.
Okay, no. This ties in. This ties into the game. We're good.
Okay, I was going to ask you guys about the decision to pull Taj Bradley.
How many pitches? How many pitches was he at?
88. Yeah.
88 pitches.
Doesn't he have a pretty extensive injury history? He might be on a. They might not ever want him going deep into games. That was my first thought.
I gotta look up. Let's look up the game logs for his pitch counts because I mean they yanked him. I mean Taj Bradley. It feels like routinely daddies the Red Sox.
All right, here you go. Six innings against the Red Sox. 5.2 against the Twins. 5.1 against the Orioles. 6.2 against the Royals. And then oh my
pitch
god,
count on there.
1.1.
Yeah, he got smoked.
Jesus.
Yeah, he had a 7 ERA in his six previous starts heading into this game.
But what were his pitch counts? What were the pitch counts though?
That's what I'm going to try to find.
Just broadly, my broad guess would be he has been kind of up and down this year, more down than up, and he pitched a really good game and they were about to see him for a third time and his pitch count was kind of getting up there. Maybe the Rays were just like, we got a nasty bullpen, let's just turn it over to these guys. We haven't been winning. Eh?
He All was right. coming up.
I'll read Wait, off Gordo. The
Gordo, really quick. He was coming in, or he got pulled at 5-6-7. So he had already gone 1-4.
Right. So yeah, he's not Weird. Even not even like the lineup's turning over. Since the start of June, here's his pitch counts: 104, 77, 84, 47, 87, 95, 88. So this, I mean, it does look. They looking at this, he is routinely pulled in the 80s. Like before that, his previous five starts, 91, 84, 82, 84, 88. So, I mean, it's not like it's out of pattern. I don't know the right word, but it was a gift for the Red Sox. The Rays put in a guy who they traded for that day. His life got uprooted and he had to move all the way down south to Florida in one day. Brian Baker, they traded a first round pick for him. Like he's been a good pitcher. He's thrown a lot this year. Like we talked about Greg Weissert and Bernardino throwing a lot. Brian Baker was that for the Orioles this year. Came into this game and put two guys on base. And you know what? Credit to the Red Sox. Credit to Marcelo Meyer. Credit to Seidon Rafaela. When the reliever comes in, puts two guys on base, it's your job to take advantage of that. You're down two runs. Make him pay. You put up three runs. Put yourself in a position for Whitlock to come in. 1-2-3 for Chapman to come in. Shut the door. Like. It's why I'm so impressed, because it's a different type of win than what we've been seeing.
It is. It wasn't over in the sixth inning in a good way. Question for you guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. Brian Baker was traded to the Rays today.
Today. Yes.
Around noon.
First round pick, yeah. 11 hours before he came into the game.
Why would they put him in the game? There's no way that he was like in a good headspace and not completely like. He's been with the Orioles his whole major league career. Why would you?
I don't know.
Why would you fuck with him? I mean, when they put him in the game, I was like, oh my God, why would they do this? This guy, first of all, he's not that good. Second of all, there's no way he's going to be at his best. And right, like, I didn't think he'd be that bad as he was tonight, but he was friggin' horrendous. Thank you, Rays. Just a weirdly managed game by Kevin Cash Money and the Rays.
Yeah. And
again, thank you.
To get a game, because obviously, like, if the Red Sox trade for a starting pitcher, like, whether or not you want to believe that Walker Buehler can turn his season around and, like, his last two starts, I think we can all agree, like, results better, step in the right direction, absolutely. Still not really a guy you, like, he just does, it doesn't look the part. You walk more than you strike out, you let up a couple of bombs. Like, yes, and we don't need to have that conversation. Obviously, if they trade for a pitcher, he's the guy that's going to get bumped, and hell, they might bump him before that because you've got Fitz and Dobbins. But like,
can we do a sound thing? What did you think of Buehler's start? Give me a noise. Pat.
Oh, Pat's a little more negative on it than I was. What about you, Sam?
Mine was like,
That might be a little bit too positive, Sammy.
No, that was you.
That
just
was like, oh, all right. You just it was, made, I mean, the, six innings.
You just made the noise of the GIF of the guy on the heat on the bench going.
It's like, all right, yeah.
Oh,
well, Sammy, the noise you made is the game he got thrown out in against the Mets. He pitched well, but he only went 2 2/3, so he got thrown out. But it's like, oh, he was looking good.
Oh no, that would have been like you were doing well. This one was like. The noise I was making was kind of like a, all right, okay, not great. Like Larry David, if Larry David were a big Red Sox fan and he was watching Walker Buehler, he would have been,
Oh, Larry would hate Walker. All right, give me the noise.
Mopey face, I hate it.
Give me the noise that you would use to describe his start against the Angels. Pat? All right. Fuck. Buehler does it too, but it's a little bit more higher pitch. Crochet sounds like he's like echoing in a deep cave. Fuck. That's
you know what's funny is we asked Walker Buehler if he wanted to do like a quick interview with us, and he kind of answered like that. He was like,
no.
And we're like, all right, maybe another time. Not in a mean way, just kind of like a. It was like he was rewinding something he had said earlier.
But the point I was getting to when I brought him up is it's big to win a game that your fifth best guy is starting, because it's not one of those games where Lucas Giolito or Brian Baio is going out there. And like those guys, like last six starts, let me quickly pull up the numbers on what those guys have been doing. All right, Giolito, his last six starts, 38 and two-thirds innings pitched, 0.7 ERA, 2.62 FIP. Brian Baio in his last six starts, coming off a complete game in which he had a shutout going into the ninth inning. 39 and a third, 2.52 ERA, 3.85 FIP. Similarly to how I asked you guys about, are you buying into the Red Sox? I feel like this is kind of the same exact question over again, because I feel like if you're buying into Giolito and Bayo, you are buying into the Red Sox. So the question is, what can you reason? Because obviously Giolito's not going to pitch to an 0.7 ERA the rest of the season. He's got an ERA, like, what is it, 3.3 something now? Like, he's
3.36.
Been 3.36, which is lower than all of his best years with the White Sox. Bayo has, honestly, he's pitched to a mid, low to mid three since the All-Star break of last year, since that Miami start of last year. So actually, since before the All-Star break. How much can fans buy into these two guys? Like, what are you seeing from these guys that either gives you faith that it's going to continue, or are you, or is making you exercise caution?
Giolito?
Either of them.
I mean, Giolito, like, the strike throwing ability, the confidence is through the roof. You see him in the dugout. He looks like he's like taking a walk through the park. I think that's how he operates. Like, he's not one of those, like Garrett Crochet, when he starts, he's very locked in. Like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, kind of type like that. At least that's how it looks from the outside looking in. Giolito looks like he's just having a grand old day. All his pitches are working for him. It doesn't really matter who he's facing. He pitches the same all the time. And for a guy like him, who has done it before, a guy, like, it's not like a, nothing against Richard Fitz or Hunter Dobbins. When you watch them have success, you're like, wow, this is interesting. I hope they can keep it up. With Giolito, you're thinking like, oh my God, he's back. Is this 2019 Lucas Giolito, the guy who we saw get Cy Young votes? Like, is this guy on the Red Sox now? So when you watch him, I don't know, it's just different. It instills a lot of confidence as a fan. That's, like I said earlier, that's the game two starter if you got to pick one. But yeah, man, I mean, what more can you say about Giolito? He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, based on the last 5-6 games, each of them, it's hard to say, like, there's not meaningful strides being taken. It's not like it's a one-off start or two starts in a row. Like, it's a meaningful streak for both of these guys now. The one thing I'm looking forward toward, you know, from now to the end of the season is Giolito's arm holding up coming off first season after surgery. That's definitely something to watch. And then Bayo's command in a full, we'll call it a full season. He missed a little bit at the beginning, obviously, but how his command ages through a full season. Those are the two things that I'm still a little skeptical on, but like in this moment, yeah, I think they both look phenomenal, and I am like believing how they're pitching.
So for Bayo, this is kind of a weird take. You guys might think I'm insane. I need to see him have a not so good start, like a so-so, kind of like regress a little bit and then bounce back after that. Does that make sense? Because like
the
thing with him is when something bad happens to him, it snowballs. So I need to see him face some adversity after the hot streak and then come back and resume the hot streak. And I know that sounds nuts, like way overthinking, but that's, we've seen this guy come up through the minors and make his major league debut, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I need to see him fight through adversity. Granted, if he keeps dominating like this, I won't complain. I think that's awesome. Keep going, Brian. I love it. But for me, like, if I want to, quote unquote, buy in to what Brian Bayo is selling, I need to see him fight through some more adversity. And hey, maybe the gauntlet that we've been talking about, maybe that's where he does it.
Yeah, for me with Bayo, at least, it is about the changeup. He got 8 swings on his changeup in the Rockies start. He got 5 whiffs. It was the best the changeup's been all year. And you saw when he has that pitch going, along with everything else he's got going on, and he's the cutter. I mean, he only threw a couple of cutters, but the cutter has been a good pitch for him this year. When he's got he's never had everything going, and he's still been able to pitch to mid threes ERAs for extended stretches when he's got like 75% of it going. So yeah, he doesn't need to be perfect. He can still be good. So I feel good about him, but you're right, Sammy. He's susceptible to extended ruts when things go wrong. So it's going to be about, can he bounce back? And yeah, we're going to see it in starts, from start to start. And then with Giolito, I have a much more difficult time like picturing what he's going to be doing on a start to start basis moving forward. Cause right now, every time he goes out in the mound, I have like extreme confidence that he's going to go out there and shove. But he's not one of these guys where it's like, oh, high velocity. Oh, you know, he's basically fastball, changeup, and he mixes in the other two pitches, the breaking balls, the sweeper and curveball. He mixes it in. But like, so it's harder for me to evaluate, like, to look at a guy like that. Because it's basically, is he locating his stuff? Is he throwing strikes? Does he have confidence? And, you know, he does right now, and I fully expect it to continue, but it's not a guy that I've seen pitch for a full season. Like, this is my first half season watching him on a start-to-start basis. So it's a little bit tougher to evaluate with him, but I mean, with the way he's pitching, you can't feel anything but awesome when he takes the mound. I don't care who it's against. The last two, I get it, Nationals and Rockies. But before that, mm-hmm. like his start before that, he dominated the Blue Jays, who then went on to win 10 straight games. So yeah. And he's been doing it against good teams too. So
and you gotta give credit to the Red Sox pitching lab, who we justifiably criticized earlier in the year. We weren't seeing the results, and we said, yeah, we'll be patient, but we haven't seen it yet. Giolito, we talked to Brad Foe, spoke with him about the skeleton machine. The Red Sox, if you haven't heard that interview yet, go listen to it after this episode. But the Red Sox have a machine that basically analyzes a pitcher or a hitter's skeleton, and it shows like how they're moving with every pitch. And the Red Sox basically broke it down with Giolito. They figured out what movements work for him, which ones don't, when is he getting success, blah, blah, blah. And that's helped him big time. And then with Brian Baio, I think it's pretty noticeable that he has a different leg kick. He's much more closed off. Not quite Louis Tiant, where he's turning around towards second base, but he's definitely changed the leg kick to kind of close off a little bit more before he uncoils and releases. So credit to the Red Sox pitching lab. If we're going to criticize them, we also have to give them their flowers when they deserve it. So that's definitely a positive thing that I've noticed lately.
For sure. And honestly, regardless of what you think about these guys, I think if you told me or any Red Sox fan that, hey, Lucas Giolito is going to start game 3 of the postseason, Brian Baio is going to start game 4, you'd feel pretty good about that. And that brings me to the next topic here, is that Joe Ryan report, where John Morosi said that the Red Sox have been monitoring Joe Ryan's availability. Brad Foe said the Red Sox have been interested in Joe Ryan. They've liked Joe Ryan for a long time. So Joe Ryan's got 2.5 years of control left. He is going to be expensive. I obviously, like when we hit the offseason last year, we talked about Garrett Crochet. Everyone knew how expensive that price was going to be. The trade chatter, you know, in the offseason, it's all we have. So the potential packages for Crochet, I think people knew it was going to cost a ton. I don't know if people have quite grasped how much Joe Ryan would cost. That's not me saying don't go out and get him. I think there definitely is a path for the Red Sox to get this guy if the Twins do, in fact, make him available, which again is an if. Like, they're not a team that's all the way dead. And even if they are, like, that, this is a division, the AL Central, that flips around every single year. Like, they could go out there and win that division next year. And like I said, he's got 2.5 years of control. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, where do you guys stand on Joe Ryan? Do you want the Red Sox to pay what you think it would take to get the guy? If you're on the bubble about it, what needs to happen for you to want them to take that plunge? Like, let's all get our Joe Ryan takes out there. Sammy, I'll start with you. Pat, you'll go next, and then I'll follow that. We'll have a good Joe Ryan discourse here.
Joe Ryan discourse. So, admittedly, I'm next for who says no. Joe Ryan is not the guy I'm targeting. So this is not a who says no preview.
Don't hold anything back either. Like, let's go.
Someone else. Yeah. So I put this out on Twitter today. I think the cost for Joe Ryan is going to be pretty much the same price as Garrett Crochet for a few reasons. One, he has an extra half a year of team control compared to Crochet when he was traded for. Second, it's a mid-season trade. So the seller, in my opinion, has more leverage. There's more buyers than sellers, especially with expanded playoffs. So the Twins can really hold out and wait for the best offer. And I think if you're the Red Sox, if you want to get Joe Ryan, I don't think Jaron Duran is a fit for the Twins. They have other needs. They have a pretty crowded outfield. And so I don't think he's going to be included unless it's a three-team trade. But if it's a swap between the Twins and the Red Sox, I think it's going to look like Peyton Tolley, who's your number one prospect once Meyer and Anthony graduate, which will be soon. Franklin Arias, probably your best hitting prospect. Password, Yustinson Garcia, who's your best prospect that's close to major league ready, you could call him. He's in AAA, knocking on the door. Probably if you trade him elsewhere, they might even put him on the major league roster. And then I think one of Fitz and Dobbins. It's going to be a gross price because this is a top 20 pitcher with team control in his prime at 29 years old in the middle of a season with not a lot of buyers or sellers, excuse me. So Joe Ryan, if you want him, you're a Red Sox fan, you got to be okay with not really having much of a farm system after him. You won't have a terrible farm, but you're going to be in that bottom half. You're not going to be a top farm system anymore. You have to forfeit a lot. And the Twins are going to want those top. It's not going to be like, I'd rather give them multiple lesser prospects. Not going to cut it. You got to include Toley and you got to include those other top prospects. Otherwise, they're going to trade him somewhere else. Someone else is going to beat your offer. You don't think so? Who do you think? Give me your trade package. I'm interested.
I'll tell you what I came up with today. And there's a couple of different teams you could do this sort of format with. Sammy, that format you came up with, I agree. If you're trading one-on-one with the Twins, that's how it's going to have to happen. And that's not how the Red Sox should approach it, in my opinion.
I agree.
Red Sox should be trying to use their outfield surplus, which they have. In the last game of the Rocky series, they sat Sadon. In the first game of the Rays series, they sat Yoshida. In the second game, they're probably going to sit someone else that we all want to see play. Use that surplus to fill your need. The example I came up with today, I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. I should have written it down. Here's what I think it was. Send Jared Duran to the Padres. Padres send, it's a one-for-one for them. Send Ethan Salas to the Twins. And then the Red Sox send Peyton Toley and someone in like the Mikey Romero, James Tibbs echelon to the Twins. And that's how you get Joe Ryan. That's how I would do it. Like, cause I don't want to see the Red Sox decimate their entire, and if they are going to decimate their entire farm system, 2.5 years of Joe Ryan is the guy to do it for and the situation to do it for. But I don't want to see them do that if they don't have to. And they've got this surplus. I think it's up to Craig Breslow in the front office to find a creative way to use that surplus to get your hands on a controllable number two-ish starting pitcher. Joe Ryan certainly would be a high-end number two if he's available like that. That's how I would go about it.
I was thinking Phillies because the Phillies need a closer. They need a closer and they need a bat. So if you send Duran to the Phillies and then the Twins send like Jax or their Duran, one of their late inning guys. And
send
then
both Durans to the Phillies. Do it. Send both Durans to the Phillies.
Hungry like the wolf. The Phillies are hungry like the wolf. They want Duran. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Pat, I'm curious. Yeah. What is your, like when you hear Joe Ryan, first of all, do you want the Red Sox to take the plunge? And second of all, if you want them to take the plunge, how do you want them to go about it?
Yeah, I do. I think that Joe Ryan is the exact type that you want to pair next to a Garrett Crochet. He fits your age bracket right now. He is entering kind of in the middle of his prime. It's 2 years of control. The American League is up for grabs, and a move like Joe Ryan kind of puts you into that upper echelon. How they go about it, one thing that is worth mentioning is the draft. It's a very good starting pitcher draft in the first round this year. You have Woods, you have Bremner, you have Bremner, Woods, Witherspoon, like all in that like range where the Sox are going to be picking. So if you do move Toley, you can basically draft a Toley replacement before you even have to trade Toley. So I'm okay with parting with the talent if it is a one-for-one. And I agree with Sammy. I think it's going to be something along the lines of Toley, Arias, probably Tibbs. But then also one of Harrison, Fitz, and Dobbins. So it's a big package. That being said, you have the depth. The major league roster is pretty much set for a bit, aside from, you know, like first base and all that. So you can afford to part with it. And with the draft coming up, like
Pat, would you rather do that than use the outfield surplus? Like if you're not using the outfield surplus for the controllable starting pitcher, what are you using it for? That's where my head. I guess you could use it to restock.
That's what I was gonna say. Is I think what you do is you kind of part with whatever you need to from the farm to go get Joe Ryan, see what the damage is, and then immediately flip, you know, Duran for some of that back plus your draft haul. And I think it probably equates to even in terms of the farm. Worth it.
I mean, Joe Ryan is absolutely like. I don't Is Joe Ryan something that casual fans, is he a guy that casual fans don't know a lot about because he's on the team?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else? You know what else hurts him? This is another weird take from me. It's two today. He's got a really boring name. Like, his name's not going to, like, you're like Garrett Crochet. Like, Crochet, that's cool. I remember that. Joe Ryan. It sounds like Johnny Dickhead from the store. So, no, I don't think he's very popular.
What's wrong with a guy named Joe?
It's a common name, Joe. I have one too. My name's Sam.
You've got a more memorable last name than Ryan, though, Joe. So you're safe.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, Joe. Fair if enough. You, ha- oh my God, if Joe was an athlete, dude, Braverman jerseys would go so hard.
Oh yeah, Braverman's a good last name.
I can hear Will Fleming now, like Joe Braverman coming out of the dugout. Will
Do
Fleming.
It, just,
there's no braver man in baseball. Here comes Big Joe.
Oh, if Joe is a closer, Joe comes in the high leverage spot. The bravest man, Braverman. What a save.
He's the fireman. He comes in with the bases loaded. Yeah, just going to say that.
Here comes Braverman, the fireman. Oh,
yeah, but Joe,
Joe,
if
the life, Joe, it's not too late.
I was going to say the life that could have been. I need like
6 inches on your height. Like,
yeah, you need a pair of high heels and steroids, Joe. Get on it.
Some steroids would help. Yeah, but yeah, if you don't know anything about Joe Ryan, he's got a 2.76 ERA this year, 18 games, 17 starts. What the hell is that about?
I was looking at that today. I don't know. There was one weird game in there. He also strikes out like 10 per nine. So he's what you want. He's
K percentage. 28.6%, 87th percentile.
Yeah, you're looking
baseball
at a number two starter.
Right, you pitch either run value. Pitch run value, 96. Fastball run value, 99th percentile. Oh. 90th percentile in walk, 87th percentile in K, 87th percentile expected batting average. Like, this is just a guy who, no matter what ballpark he's in, that carries.
He averages 93.4 miles an hour in his fastball, but his fastball run value is 99th percentile.
Probably like, spins it. Spins it very well. You want with a number two starter, you either want a guy like that who strikes out a lot, or you want a guy who generates a fuck ton of ground balls. Either way, give me one of those guys. Joe Ryan, I think it's too rich right now. In the offseason, I would be like, yeah, go for it. The price is probably different. You don't have that half year of control, which is going to up the price. You got Twins have a little less leverage. I can't see it happening. I hope I'm wrong because he is exactly what the Red Sox need, but I don't think they'll do it. I don't know. Where do you guys think Joe Ryan's going to end up? Because he's probably going to get moved.
I think it's the most likely scenario is he stays this.
Yeah.
At least you think he stays?
I don't know. I mean, if he gets traded, I would, I don't know. It's tough because we're so early in trade season. We haven't gotten this long list of teams that are in on him. So it's hard not to think, oh, the Red Sox have plenty to work with and the need to make a move. Like, we should talk about the outfield surplus. Cubs is a great example.
Cubs. That's my guess right now is Cubs.
I keep hearing them linked to every starting pitcher, but I haven't heard it with Joe Ryan yet.
Because they're nasty and they lost Steele already.
My sleeper team for Joe Ryan is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Please no.
They got they were reportedly in on DeGrom, according to Hector Gomez. So that's not a bad guess, Pat.
They got
that would suck.
Don't touch that guy. Dude. He's good, but Jesus, don't. No, not that contract is black.
Yeah, they got Trey Yesavage. They got Arjun Namala. I mean, those are two top 60 guys right there, and I'm sure they have something on the middle of the farm that can make a decent package at least. But so, if it comes down to package, Cubs. The Cubs by far.
Yeah. I mean, we're also lucky the Mariners don't need a starting pitcher because they have ammo and they have urgency, but they're not going to get on starting pitching.
The Mariners have 9 top 100 prospects.
Yeah. So count your lucky stars. They're not going to be treating Joe Ryan.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But speaking of trades, we got to talk about this outfield surplus. Yoshida back. I was talking about it before, how you're benching a guy every single game that you want to play. Can you continue with this outfield surplus all season long? Because I think there was a lot. I mean, certainly I was under a big part of me believed, oh my God, they would never bring Yoshida back without having a move lined up. So I was expecting something to go down. Nothing went down. The question is, can you, like, obviously if it gets to the off season like this, they're going to make a trade, but can they let it get past the deadline without moving one of the outfielders?
No, because if they do make the playoffs, that's when it will hurt them. You can't have Yoshida on the bench. I don't know, if Yoshida's on the team, I want him playing every day. I want Duran playing every day if he's on the team. I want Rafaela playing every day if he's on the team. And the same goes for Willy or Abreu. With the lefties in that group, three of them are lefties. Select games, fine. You don't play them. But against righties, every single game for all four of those guys. And it's just kind of an impossible task for Alex Cora. Plus, on top of that, like we just spoke about, this team has other needs. There's no gaping issue that they need to address immediately or else it will sink them. But you have to take a step back. What is the goal here? If the goal is to make the playoffs, then fine, you don't have to do anything. But if you want to make the playoffs and maybe make a run in the playoffs and make some noise and set yourself up for, God forbid, maybe winning a pennant, maybe setting yourself up for the next year to feel really good about it and then go for it, you can't just go in looking like an idiot with like a weird bench and like who plays when. You got to know who your guys are, and you got to, as we love to say, you got to fill those holes. Fill those holes, big or small. They all need love. So I hope they're not complacent at the deadline. That is my biggest fear. I would almost rather they punt and get something for Chapman, get something for their expiring.
Oh, God, okay. Stop it.
No. I'm not saying I want them to do that, but the worst case scenario is doing nothing. Then you're just like, what are we doing? Like have some conviction one way or another. It can't be a nothing. Even if you buy and sell. If you buy and sell, I don't love it, but fine. Don't sit on your hands. Be like, oh, we traded Devers. That's it. Don't do that. Got to do something.
Pat, I'll ask you the same question I just asked Sammy. Can it work keeping all of these guys on the... By all these guys, I'm talking Anthony, Rafaela, Duran, Abreu, Yoshida. Five guys for four spots against righties. Can you make it work keeping all five of those guys on the team past the deadline and handle it in the offseason? Or is this something they have to handle right now?
No, you have to handle it right now. You absolutely have to. Because it's going to get to a point where the playing time kind of carousel. Like, yeah, guys get rest. You have weapons off the bench. Like, yada, yada. But there's going to be times where it's like the wrong decision. And it's going to come back to bite guys. And it's you cannot have a valuable commodity in four starting outfielders and not capitalize it to meaningfully upgrade the team now and in the future. You just can't do it. Because it's a devaluing... that's the right word. The value is going down.
Depreciating,
yes.
It's a depreciating asset. So every day that, we'll just say Jaren, every day that Jaren's on the bench, his trade value goes down. Every day that Jared Reyes is on this team throughout the rest of the year, his value goes down. Same can be said about Willier. Same can be said about, obviously, Sedan and Rome. They're not going to move. That being said, it's a seller's market because there's not a lot of sellers. If the Sox look to trade one of these four starting or should be starting outfielders, you get paid handsomely for it, and it immediately gives you ammo to do something right then and there, whether it be a Joe Ryan or this offseason, go out and trade for whoever becomes available. Like it just makes too much sense to do it now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, because like if you want to get literal with it, can they make it work the rest of the way? Yeah, they can. They can do it. They can physically do it. They're like you can rotate you can do it. But to me, you only do that if you have a roster with no holes. Like you have no needs to fill. You just have so much talent and you want to have all this insurance. It's like the Dodger mold with their pitchers. Like you do it because you have that luxury, because you have all the talent in your major league team and in the farm system, and you don't need to do anything and you're just gonna go for it. With this team, we've talked about it all show. They could use a number two starter. They could use a middle of the order bat, preferably a first baseman. They could use another back of the bullpen arm. Like they could use all of these things. And the one thing that they have, like, yeah, they could deal their farm system to get these things if they wanted to. They could deal Peyton Tolley if they wanted to. They could deal the password. They could deal Arias. They have the ammo to do these things if they want to use their farm system. But you've got a surplus in the outfield sitting right there. And to me, it is this front office's job. It's their duty to find the right trade to not only, because like, yes, you could trade those guys for prospects and then in the offseason figure it out. But no, to me, I think it's their duty to find a trade right now or a sequence of trades that cashes in on the value of that surplus, and there's a lot of value there, and then gets you something that your team needs. And to me, I think it's a controllable starting pitcher. I think that's what they have to do. Like they can make it work technically if they don't, but I think it's something that if you want to give this team the best chance this year and moving forward in future years, this is what you do. Got to make the move.
I wish the Brewers weren't good, because you guys know I love Freddie Peralta. Yeah, I've been trying to think of a way for the Red Sox to get it. Just doesn't make any sense. He would be. Oh, well. Fucking Milwaukee with their random good teams out of nowhere. Mizorowski. Actually, Mizorowski, I got him on my keeper fantasy league. Woo!
Sox should trade for him. What do you think he'd cost?
I love the fans who are like that. Like they see like a superstar player on another team. They're like, Paul Skeens. Why don't the Red Sox just get him? Why don't the Celtics just trade for LeBron James, dude? I don't get it.
Celtics should trade for Luka.
The Dodgers don't want to pay Ohtani all of that money.
No.
Just God, go no. Get him.
Yeah,
future dude, years, man.
I love that. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's go to enough said. Anyone have anything? I'm trying to finagle something in my head. I forgot to prepare one, so I'll keep thinking. Anyone got one prepared?
Yeah. So I have a conspiracy. Romy Gonzalez. I'm sure you guys saw on Monday night he hit a ball basically to Canada. He hit it so friggin' far. That ball was listed at, what, 454 feet? If I'm 53, 54, like a little over 450. I was at that game. There is no way, no way that that ball only went like 450 feet. That ball was not even in the neighborhood of the Green Monster. That was by far the furthest ball I've ever seen hit in person. It had to have hit like the House of Blues or right next to it or the Sausage Guy or something. So my conspiracy is that that tracker, like the home run tracker, whatever it is, like stops working in certain spots at Fenway specifically, because Fenway is so old. That ball was, there's no way that that ball didn't go 500 feet. That was hit absurdly far. Like it looked like a joke, like you would see on like a TV show. Like, yeah, you hit the ball that far. Sure thing, pal, in your dreams. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't really have anything further to add to it. I just think it went further than that. It's my conspiracy theory is that the home run tracker doesn't actually work at Fenway all the time.
I think you're right. It didn't look like it was 50 feet shorter than the Manny 501 or 502 or whatever they call it. Like they make
another one that was fake. Another one that was fake. The Ted Williams hit his famous home run 502 feet, and then Manny, big friggin' Jack,
one foot.
Yeah, possibly roided out. Oh, it just happened to go 1 foot shorter. Bullshit, dude. There's no way. Both of those balls. Manny Ramirez home run that we're talking about, that I'm pretty sure everyone who's listening knows what home run we're talking about because it was so iconic. And then Romy's home run from Monday. Both of those, 500 feet, 501 feet or more. 502 feet or more. I'll go as far as to say, sorry, Ted Williams. We all know the truth.
Pat, you got anything?
Yeah, mine's pretty quick. Fuck Will Clark.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dude, Will Clark is like a family member that you're afraid to take to like anything in public because you don't know like when something's gonna set him off and he's gonna have to explain his political beliefs or something to everyone. And you're like, oh, please, Uncle Will, please stop, please. We talk about this in the car. Oh no,
That rant. They wanted that guy teaching Rafi Devers a position. That was batshit.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy who's probably like, I don't believe in analytics and metrics.
Yeah.
What did his t-shirt say? It was like, if you don't like baseball, that's okay.
Yeah. Something stupid like that.
Will Clark, dude. Good
battle of
there.
The wills.
But a whack job.
Okay, I'll go last. I thought of something. Shout out to the dudes sitting behind me at the game on
Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. We went to Fenway. Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday's game. I think his name was Sean. Shout out Sean, PT listener. So shout out to him. And those guys were good fans. They know ball. I love sitting next to fans at a game that know ball. It's always funny when you're at a game and like you're hearing guys, oh, like, What's like the dumbest thing you've heard a fan next to you say at a game? I'm trying to think.
I had a guy tell me that pitchers can throw risers the other day, like balls that spin so much they rise, which is physically impossible for a human to do. Optical illusion looks like it, but it's not actually.
Oh, sorry. I was one time at, I remember this vividly. It was Athletics Red Sox, and I think it was 2019 or 18. No, it was 2017, and it was Red Sox A's. There's a guy in front of me, and Blake Treinen is pitching for the Athletics. This guy is like the most mangled person I've ever seen. Like he's just folded, can barely stand up.
Yeah.
Blake Treinen.
Okay, to be clear. Yeah.
So then he goes, "Oh yeah, imagine having a guy named Blake on your team. That must suck."
Yeah, that's like
actively pitching to Blake Swihart.
Oh.
Well, Gordo, we had that guy. We were at a game. Pat, you might have been there too. I don't know. But Gordo, I remember we didn't yell at a guy, but a guy told Tristan Casas that he's just another Bobby Dalbec.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like that. Yes.
Yeah, dumb shit that you hear.
These guys sitting behind me were not that. They knew ball. That's all I was trying to say. They were not those guys. So shout out to those guys. And
ball knowers.
PT knowers. I love it. That was cool. So shout out to those guys and shout out to all you for listening to the show. That's going to do it for episode 236 of Playtesty. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, which you can find in the Playtesty playlist. Find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. 3 more gets to raise, and then the All-Star break. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Playtesty. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.